KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Camila Fernandez with opener Mariachi Continental San Diego on April 29th at UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Welcome in San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, an investigation shows misdiagnoses and delays in care are leading to record deaths in ICE detention centers. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Inside Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention centers, medical misdiagnosis and delays are leading to deaths in ICE custody. At least 48 people have died in custody since Donald Trump returned to office last January. And that's according to a new investigation from the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm here with one of the reporters behind the story, Colin Cheong. Welcome to Midday Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you on. Your report, I want to get into that because it talks about last year's death toll in ICE custody and that it was the highest since the agency was created. Walk me through those numbers, if you can.
Absolutely. 33 people died in ICE custody last year, the highest since 2003 when ICE was created. And our investigation found that not only are people dying in higher numbers, but they're also dying at a higher rate per the number of people on average detained per day. It's the highest death rate that we've seen since at least 2009, except for 2020 when the death rate was higher due to COVID.
So let's unpack some of the factors that led to that. Though we don't have time to get through all 48 cases, I mean, can you talk about the disturbing through lines that emerge here? I mean, what stands out to you?
We found that multiple people died due to after medical staff delayed or failed to provide critical care that might have saved their lives. That was based on an analysis of 32 cases in which there were the most revelatory documents available. We sent those records to doctors with specialties related to the medical conditions that these detainees died from. And those doctors identified for us at least 17 people who died after failing to receive medical care or receiving delayed medical care that could have saved their life.
And you found that the record deaths, they're not just because more people have been arrested under the Trump administration. So what are some of the other factors at play here?
The factors that we found in our investigation have to do with people who didn't receive medical care in a timely manner and so died from conditions that doctors said would otherwise be survivable if they'd gotten attention. People also failed to get 911 attention when they were experiencing medical emergencies or received misdiagnoses. So, for example, one man, 44-year-old Ukrainian refugee, had a seizure that was caused by a massive stroke, and detention staff records show thought that he was intoxicated and so sent him to the housing unit rather than call 911. During that time, over an hour and 13 minutes passed, and he had six more seizures caused by that stroke before emergency medical transportation was finally called. And when he arrived at the hospital 2 hours after his stroke, he was critically ill, and soon after had such severe brain damage that doctors said he was unrevivable. And that's just one example of these trends that we think have contributed to the record high death rate.
That is awful. But this is a trend that preceded the current administration, right?
Yeah, two of the cases of people who died since President Trump took office actually involved medical care that preceded President Trump taking office. And one of them was a man named Sarawit Dejean, who died of complications from AIDS after he was not tested for HIV for several months while in ICE detention, despite having symptoms that doctors said should have prompted testing, like losing 20% of his body weight, having significant back pain, and developing lymphoma. And that was things that happened prior to January 20th, 2025. So I think our investigation found that some of these problems are not new. They predate President Trump's inauguration.
Mm. Another case that stood out is that of a man in the Adelanto Detention Center in California. Tell me about that.
Yeah, Mr. Ismael Ayala Uribe was a former DACA recipient who came to the U.S. when he was 5 years old. And after being arrested at the car wash where he worked, he quickly started having agonizing pain in his rear. And he complained to medical staff about it, saying it was 10 out of 10 pain. But the records don't show that staff ever examined him physically. They sent him back to his cell with fiber supplements that are used to relieve digestive problems. And it wasn't until a few days later that he was finally taken to a hospital where they diagnosed him with septic shock caused by an abscess that was growing in his rear, filling with bacteria and threatening to kill him. And he died. His heart stopped while waiting for treatment. And doctors who reviewed his case said that he could have been saved if he had been treated earlier for the abscess. He could have been given antibiotics. That is a very survivable condition that he should not have died from if he was given the appropriate medical care.
Mm. You know, ICE did not respond to requests to comment for your story. In general, what message have they put out related to healthcare within their facilities?
The agency has said previously in press releases when people have died that it provides comprehensive medical and dental and mental health care. They've also said previously that they offer, quote, the best health care that many aliens have received in their entire lives, end quote, and has generally defended what it provides in its detention facilities.
Hmm. I mean, you spoke with several immigration attorneys and medical doctors for this investigation. What did they make of this data?
The doctors found and raised alarm bells about numerous cases where people did not receive medical care they should have received, where they did not get 911 called when they should have, when they received misdiagnoses. And the doctors drew a link between those things and people dying prematurely. One of the doctors that we spoke to, emergency medicine physician in Atlanta, said that if you're not able to provide quality medical care or let people choose when they need to go to the emergency department, then I don't think you can claim to have appropriate medical care and detain people. The principle here being that the U.S. government is constitutionally required to provide medical care for people that it holds in custody, whether that's in prisons or jails or in ICE detention facilities, regardless of their immigration status, regardless of what criminal convictions they may have. At the same time, it's important to remember that many people held in ICE detention do not have criminal convictions. Mm-hmm. In fact, a majority of people who died in the past, since January 1st, 2025, had no violent criminal history. And immigration detention is not like prison or jail because it's not legally supposed to be a punishment.
Right.
It's meant to be an administrative process to hold people while they're waiting for their hearings or to make sure that potentially dangerous people don't pose a public safety risk.
Just remind me, I mean, who are these people providing medical care in these facilities?
There's quite a big range. Some of them are ICE employees. Some of them are private operators. Because most ICE detention facilities are actually operated by private companies, the two largest of which are CoreCivic and Geo Group, neither responded to our request for, that's not correct. One of them responded to our request for comment, Geo Group, asking us to speak to ICE instead. CoreCivic said that they care, nothing more matters to them than health and safety of people in their care. But most of these facilities are run by private detention operators. And most of the deaths occurred in privately run facilities. They have their own staff that provide healthcare. And it makes it quite difficult to actually know who is providing the medical care, who are the doctors and nurses staffing the facilities where people are dying, because a lot of that information is not publicly available.
Right. And if they're qualified even. Wow. I mean, how difficult is it for families to get accurate, timely data related to their loved one's health inside these facilities?
It can be quite difficult based on the families that we spoke to. it's complicated by the fact that while people are in ICE custody, family members are sometimes denied access to see them at hospitals. That happened in the case of the Ukrainian man I mentioned who was having who had a severe stroke and wasn't sent to emergency room quickly. His girlfriend didn't find out that he was dead until, she went to her attorney's office to pay the bill for his deportation defense and found out through her attorney that her boyfriend had died. Other times, family members have said that when they've called a facility, they've gotten run around in circles, or that they have been denied information about the condition of their loved ones. And so it can be quite difficult for family members to even know what's going on.
Detainees, families, and advocates are seeking reforms through lawsuits and even legislation right now. What should we know about those efforts?
There have been a number of lawsuits filed both by individuals who have died in ICE detention by their family members, as well as class action lawsuits filed against facilities where detainees allege there are inhumane conditions and medical neglect. One of the most prominent lawsuits in California was a November class action lawsuit filed by detainees at the largest detention center in California City over delayed medical treatment. And it resulted in a federal judge installing an independent medical expert who's supposed to conduct an investigation into whether or not the facility is meeting certain standards for medical care. And he's currently in the midst of doing that investigation at California City Detention Center.
Go ahead. I want to know how that ended up.
I was just going to say that because two detention watchdog agencies have been gutted since President Trump took office, those past historic forms of recourse for families whose loved ones aren't getting their medication or aren't getting medical care are gone now. And so we're seeing litigation emerge as the main strategy that families are using when their loved ones aren't getting medical care that they need.
Wow. Well, with just the couple of minutes that we have left, ultimately, what does this investigation reveal to you about medical procedures within ICE facilities? And what questions are you left with?
I think it's honestly heartbreaking to hear about anyone losing their loved ones under such circumstances. And to use the words of one of the daughter of one of the people who died, she said, "What hurts the most is that they didn't help my dad." And that's the feeling that a lot of people have had, as a feeling that a lot of doctors who reviewed these cases have had when they look at the care that detainees received before they died. We're continuing to investigate this issue, trying to get access to more comprehensive medical records that will give even more insight into what might have been missed, as well as looking at who the healthcare operators are in some of these facilities. So stay tuned for that.
I've been speaking with Colin Cheung, reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll link to her reporting at kpbs.org. Thank you so much, Colin.
Thank you for having me.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by the National Conflict Resolution Center. Geopolitics, polarization, budget concerns, all topics that can cause tension in the workplace. NCRC can help seasoned and emerging leaders navigate polarizing issues with the Culture, Communication, and Conflict Certificate. More at ncrconline.com.